Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
How wild is it that the AFC South, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, the longest tenured quarterback in the AFC South, assuming that Deshaun Watson isn't on the Texans roster, is going to be Ryan Tannehill. You're going to have Trevor Lawrence as the starter in Jacksonville. You're going to have Carson Wentz, the starter in Indianapolis. Tyrod Taylor, most likely the starter for the Texans. And Ryan Tannehill, heading into his third season. Second full season as the day one starter, is going to be the longest tenured quarterback in the AFC South. Just go back a few years. Andrew Luck was finding form. Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck met in the postseason. Marcus Mariota was at that point where you thought maybe he could take the next step. And Blake Bortles,
you thought he was entrenched.
Blake Bortles was coming off an AFC championship appearance. Now, obviously, we knew that was kind of fool's gold, or many did. But now here you are, and Ryan Tannehill is the longest tenured quarterback in the AFC South.
It's bizarre. I mean, good for Tannehill, but the story is how quickly things can change. Just in the NFL in general, but in this division, I mean, who would have thought? I mean, Deshaun Watson was going to be here for a dozen years, man. I mean, at least is what the conventional thinking was, and it changed that fast. It's crazy.
And now you're heading into a draft where I know there's been a lot of moves that have been made by the Texans where you'd like to have them back. We could go through the list, but that's not really relevant in this situation to go through all of them. But the one that things keep pointing to is the Laremy Tunsil trade, and you would have that number three overall selection. I don't think it's an ideal spot to be in, to have one of the best quarterbacks in the league wanting out of town, and now his future being uncertain with the new elements that have been added. But it would be nice if you were the Houston Texans to have that number three overall pick, where you would at the very least have a full evaluation of who you want to be your next quarterback, like San Francisco is getting with Trey Lance and Justin Fields having second pro days and apparently being locked in on Mac Jones.
Well, just imagine if everything else stayed the same. Deshaun Watson still wanted out. He still had these legal issues come up, but you had the number three pick. Just imagine how much different you would feel today. Because, yeah, it would be a gut punch that Deshaun's out, and especially what happened with him legally. But you would say, all right, let's talk about what the Texans can do with Mac Jones or Justin Fields or whomever. And we'd be having those fights. And you just feel, I mean, it would be a gut punch, but you would just feel a little better about the future of this organization.
There's going to come a time, and I've gotten a lot of emails, gotten a lot of texts, gotten a lot of DMs, from people who say, man, I just want to talk about the roster. I just want to talk about the Texans team. First of all, this roster stinks. So there's really not much that I can do. Texans radio at 6:00. If you want a breakdown of the battle at right guard, you'll get that. So you can go
what
ahead
kind
of and jug get
machine?
That. They'll ignore the Watson all you want. So I like Texans radio. I like what Vandy and John Harris say. If you want to break down the battle of the strong safety, then 6:00 Texans radio. Have at it. And there will be a time where we'll focus on what's going on the field. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line that I think that we need to make when it comes to this Deshaun Watson situation, and it is the number one story in the nation, so that's why we're talking about it. But the number one thing that I think, and I think Andre Johnson's going to help us at 12:35 make this abundantly clear, mm-hmm. is just because this Deshaun Watson situation's going on the last month does not mean that this is still not one of the worst functioning organizations over a 2-year period in the history of sports and damn sure in the history of the NFL. Let's just make that abundantly clear. Regardless of what did or didn't happen with Deshaun Watson, going back to February and even early March, let's not forget and let's not wipe the slate clean of the raggedy-ass way in which this organization ran from the start of 2019 to the end of 2020. Let's just make that abundantly clear and not let them off the hook. Nick Caserio, he obviously inherited this situation to where it is a rebuild, but let's not let this Deshaun Watson situation, while it is the most important thing right now, don't let it cover your eyes to what we've been talking about for a long time, which is or was the worst orchestrated organization in the history of this city over a two-year period, maybe ever, and maybe the worst run organization in NFL history over a two-year period.
If you were 2 years ago to poll NFL writers and general managers, okay? If you polled NFL beat writers and general managers and you said, when will the Texans next win a Super Bowl or win their first Super Bowl? I think a lot of them would have said within 5 years.
That's what you said?
Yeah.
That's what McClain said?
Yeah. When 2 years ago, I think you could have easily argued that they would be a Super Bowl, if not sooner, but within 5 years. Right now, you can't even smell the playoffs. And you talk about, you know, talking about the roster and such. I've always gone back to Spot Rack to look at the contracts, you know, of this team. Because to me, it's one of the most fascinating things about people who still want to, you know, we cling to hope that Nick Caserio can get the rebuild done. But we're also mindful, and I think everybody should be mindful, two other big factors are still here in the disintegration of this roster. Jack Easterby and Cal McNair. You know, they just are. And now to what degree, we can argue all day long, to what degree that they actually had their impact. I think we all know the impact that Jack Easterby had. That's why Deshaun Watson wants out. I mean, that's what Andre Johnson, as you'll hear, as you said, in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you know, that's one of the reasons he's become more outspoken is because of what Jack Easterby did to his squad. So you got to balance that. How much confidence do you have in Nick Caserio? Well, okay, you know, maybe, you know, you don't have some confidence in him that he can get stuff done, and we'll see, all right? But the coaching staff is iffy at best when it's regarded by other people in the league. The roster, let me give you that number. I just updated it. 45 players. Let me say that again. 45 players on the current Texans roster have contracts that expire within the next 2 years. They're renting, not buying, dude. I mean, you know, don't get fooled. This is a long, long way. I use the word disintegration on purpose. They disintegrated all the possibilities of what the Texans could be. And two of the key elements there, maybe they've stepped back. We don't know. I doubt Jack Easterby has it in him to step back. Maybe Cal can. But the two-thirds of the triumvirate there, you know, owner, general manager, and the dude that really runs everything are still here.
Even if it had been a perfectly run organization the last 2 years, the Deshaun Watson situation would have provided us with some uncertainty. But not in this situation, because Deshaun Watson was gone before this even came out.
Yeah.
You were going to lose your quarterback because of the way that you ran things for the last 2 years. So I know that there is an effort by the Texans, and I know in the chairman letter by Cal McNair, I'm not knocking this. I think this is the appropriate way to handle it. But he made it clear, we don't condone the alleged actions of Deshaun Watson. That's a given. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone thought that you did. So that's a given, and that's great. But let's just make it clear. I don't think any fan in their right mind that follows this team, that covers this team, that covers the NFL, condones the way in which this organization has been run the last 2 years.
Right.
It's been a disgrace.
Right.
And I don't want to harp on it, but I do not think it should be forgotten just because of everything we've been talking about and everything we've had to cover and everything we've had to talk about, do, right, hear from attorneys, all that. This is still, as we sit right now, as Nick Caserio tries to build the Texans or rebuild the Texans, until proven otherwise, this is the worst run organization in the NFL, until proven otherwise. Deshaun Watson did not let you off the hook in that matter. As a matter of fact, he made things even worse than they were before this happened. So any notion, any theory that this somehow, you know, is lets the Texans off the hook, that's false. It just makes what was one of the worst situations that we've seen from point A to point B over a 2-year period just makes it even worse than it already was.
Yes. And as much as, like I said, you can be optimistic. I'm optimistic that Caserio is going to get stuff done, but you can't ignore what has happened in the last 2 years because that's where you are right now because of that. You know, I'm looking at these contracts. Let me just correct one thing. It's 43, not 45. My math was off on something. But 43 contracts are expiring in 2022. That tells you, man, how far and how low they've sunk.
And I don't think this should be a situation, because I've heard McClain say, well, if you expect them to win 3 games and they win 6, that shows, and then you expect them to win 6 and they win 8. No, it doesn't. I'm always going to go back to 2 years ago when you had the talent that the Texans had to now. I'm not going to sit here and adjust my expectations to where I'm throwing a party if a team wins 4 or 6 games. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make that very clear. Very, very clear. Abundantly clear that does not go away with what we got going on with the Deshaun Watson situation. Does not go away.
No, I'll say this about, you know, going from 2 to 6 wins, or your expectation to maybe 6 or 7 wins. I mean, back to the contracts. What are you really building? You know, they're starting the build today. They're gonna get through these contracts. They're going to remake the roster. They're going to acquire draft picks, try to get some young talent, street free agents. So a 6-win season versus a 2-win expectation or 3-win expectation doesn't mean anything without the players that you're going to bring in that are going to be there for 3 or 4 years down the road.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We'll see what happens. We'll see how these short-term contracts work out. Maybe you have some guys that'll be here whenever, you know, things brighten up. It'll be interesting to see. But make no mistake about it, the way which this organization has been orchestrated, you can be excited about Caserio, but they are not off the hook. And specifically, Cal McNair is the one who's not off the hook. Cal McNair was the overseer of this. Jack Easterby was part of the deal. So,
Cal McNair, where the hell are you? Yeah. What you hiding for? Well,
Stephen A. just said it.
What's
right.
What's up with Stephen A.?
Coming up, what would the dialogue be like if the Texans still had that number 3 overall selection? Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, what would we be saying and what conversations would we be having heading into one of the most intriguing draft picks in a long time that's going to take place in 16 days? That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
It's been an eventful offseason for the Houston Texans. It could have been even more eventful. And with how excited I am for this NFL draft, I could not imagine how awesome it would be if we were talking about the Texans having that number 3 overall selection that the San Francisco 49ers acquired from the Miami Dolphins, who acquired that pick from the Houston Texans in the Laremy Tunsil trade. Here's Tom Pelissero of NFL Network talking about the latest developments of what could have, and to some should have, been the selection for the Houston Texans in 16 days.
Not only are 49ers brass going to attend both the Trey Lance and Justin Fields' second pro days, I am told that what those quarterbacks are going to do on the field is going to be a mix of their original pro day mixed with some drills and throws that Kyle Shanahan uses in practice. In other words, no, you cannot do private workouts this year, but this is about as close as you're going to get to what a private workout otherwise would look like. There are a lot of people who believe Mac Jones is going to be the pick at number 3 overall, but at minimum, the 49ers are trying to be thorough here and fully examining their options.
All right, just imagine if this were the Houston Texans, and the Texans wouldn't have had to make any trades. Let's say the Texans are sitting there at number 3. Let's just try to role play what the conversation would be like right now. And I'm just going to throw some scenarios at you. Okay. Scenario number 1. Let's say that the Texans had that number 3 overall pick, and Nick Caserio, like it appears Kyle Shanahan is enamored with Mac Jones. What would the OG John Lopez be saying?
Well, first of all, I'd be excited to be talking about a number 3 overall pick. I like Justin Fields, man. I think I would be all about, let's just compare these guys and what they've done. I get it. Alabama, I think it was a 4 or 5-star quarterback. All his, you know, his own receivers are saying that he was better than Tua. I understand. I'm not saying he stinks. I think a lot of people are down on Justin Fields, and it's unfair.
I think Mac Jones would have people in the largest uproar. I think that would be the most polarizing possibility of all of them. I think people can see the upside of Trey Lance, and you've seen Justin Fields on the big stage for one of the most prominent programs. I think Mac Jones, who we believed would be maybe a first-round pick, I think at one point we were saying, yeah, this is a first-round guy. Then all of a sudden the talk started escalating, and we said, well, maybe this is a top-10 guy. And then the 49ers make that trade, and there's speculation that Mac Jones is going to be the guy. I think as far as the internet going nuts, the text line going nuts, the loopholes, shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. I think Mac Jones would be the most polarizing topic.
I agree.
For the Texans. I also think as we go through the scenarios and what could have been had the Texans had that number three overall selection that many NFL insiders, including Ian Rapoport, are calling the most intriguing pick in recent NFL history. I think there would be a lot of people, especially with Nick Caserio being the general manager and especially with the top two quarterback prospects off the board, I think there would be a large abundance of people saying trade back. Do what the Miami Dolphins did. Get those two first-round picks from the San Francisco 49ers. Trade back to 12, and let's just make this rebuild even more exciting, and let's inherit even more assets. So you trade back. I think there'd be a lot of people wanting the Houston Texans to do what the Miami Dolphins did when they originally had this number three overall selection.
With this roster, I might be right in line with them. I don't know about you, but everything else is equal, right? You got Tyrod Taylor. You got the roster makeover. You got all the guys on 1 or 2 year contracts. I'm not so sure I wouldn't be along the lines of let's just accumulate more picks. And oh, by the way, if this Deshaun Watson trade does happen and they get the number six overall pick from Miami, that's what they're going to do. That's what they should do. I'd be on that train.
It's even more. 713-572-4610. If the Texans had this number three overall selection, what would you be saying? Here's Ian Rapoport talking about the selection, the decision the 49ers are going to have to make, and the intrigue of this pick that was originally slated to go to your Houston Texans.
It's weird to me when the big trade happens before the draft. We've seen some where it has and some where it hasn't. And it does feel like the craziness almost has already happened with the 49ers trading up and the Dolphins trading back and trading up again. The 49ers are doing all the work. I believe there is a leader in the clubhouse. I don't know who, although the conventional wisdom is that it's Mac Jones, but I know there's been no final decision. I believe Trey Lance would also be heavily in the conversation in San Fran. Probably the most interesting quarterback decision we've seen in some time, especially if it's Mac Jones, who I think some people view as more of a mid to late first rounder. That pick, how sold they are on Mac Jones at three, if that is it, is going to be the most fascinating pick we've seen in a very, very long time.
I do think that it is a little bit different when it comes to the evaluation process from the San Francisco 49ers compared to the Houston Texans, because one of my biggest knocks on David Coley is, A, I don't think he really has an offensive scheme. I don't really think he has a vision. I think he's a walk-around head coach, for lack of a better term. And that's not disrespectful. I mean, there's been a lot of successful walk-around head coaches. Jimmy Johnson was a walk-around head coach. There's a lot of walk-around head coaches who just let their coordinators do their jobs. Bruce Arians did that this year, although he is an offensive guy. He lets his coordinators just do their jobs. So I think he's a walk-around guy. Kyle Shanahan has a system that he knows. Tim Kelly, let's be honest, he followed Bill O'Brien around for 10 years. That's his only coaching experience. I'm very, very skeptical about what Tim Kelly's offense is going to look like. Matter of fact, I would rather have Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator than I would Tim Kelly. But Pep Hamilton, as we said, is the QB coach. Tim Kelly's the OC. Maybe Pep Hamilton has a little more feedback than your typical QB coach. But if the Texans were evaluating quarterbacks, and Justin Fields and Trey Lance are doing drills in the San Francisco through the San Francisco mindset, I just don't know how the Texans, with Tim Kelly being the offensive guy and David Coley being that walk-around head coach, I don't know how exactly this evaluation process would go. I would think that maybe Nick Caserio would be more hands-on with it since he was in offensive meetings in New England. But it would be interesting because that would just be another element to what's already, as Ian Rapoport just said, is one of the more intriguing picks that we've seen in a long time that was supposed to be the Texans.
I'm curious to, even now, even without the number three overall pick, who's really having the most influence on the type of offense they're running? Is it David Culley? Probably not. Is it Pep Hamilton? Maybe a little. Is it Tim Kelly? I mean, they ran his offense last year, but I don't see them running the same offense with, you know, in 2021. It's very possible that Nick Caserio is determining what kind of offense they're going to run because he has final say on the players coming in. It's going to be, even in the current situation, it's going to be really fascinating to see what changes, if any, there are.
I didn't understand why Tim Kelly stayed with the staff.
I don't either.
Now, initially when it happened, I thought maybe it's because Deshaun Watson said that he wants Tim Kelly back, and maybe they were trying to satisfy Deshaun Watson. But even then, I still didn't see any reason to bring back Mini King Bill in Tim Kelly. But they're doing it anyways. Maybe it's because the Nick Caserio offense and the system that he was in New England, which, you know, you
that's say, probably a large part of it, which leads to
it's
my
kind
point.
Of a, it's kind of an off. It's kind yeah. of Tim Kelly's kind of connected to it.
Are they going to just continue to run the New England style? Keep in mind, B.O.B. has, and we've had Cecil Shorts in this room saying that in a film session, Bill O'Brien has told the receivers and the offense, I know this works because it worked in New England.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Who was the quarterback? I mean, are they just trying to do that? Trying to create a Tom Brady out of thin air?
I hope not.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Cecil Shorts, by the way, going to be filling in on Thursday. The OG's got some
wedding planning
to do. Ask
him about the offense influence.
I'm going to ask him about that. I'm going to ask him to defend his boy Easterby. Cecil Shorts basically going to be put on the hot seat the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let him just sit here and coast. So, Cecil, get your game face on there, buddy. Coming for you Thursday. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I'm intrigued by this draft, and I know the Texans aren't involved, but this is the most intriguing first round that I can remember in a long time.
Yeah,
I really love the NFL draft, and it stinks that the Texans aren't at least getting a piece of this pie, but I do find myself being intrigued just by what each team is going to do because there's just so many moving parts. I think there's so much talent. We really don't know what's going to happen at four. Even the fact that Trevor Lawrence is going to the Jags, I know it's a foregone conclusion, but I still think it could be a monumental day. Like, because if Trevor Lawrence is what many people have touted him to be for 3 years now, then it's going to be a historic moment when he's not going to the draft. He's actually just going to watch it at Clemson. But when he does get selected, that's history. The Jets trying to get that next quarterback, Wilson, that's history. I love the interviews. I love the fact that after a year, we're not going to see Roger Goodell basically sitting there puffing on a Sherlock Holmes pipe with his sweater tied, doing the draft from his freaking house. We're going to have him on stage. We're going to have the awkward hugs that he tries to pull off. And it's going to be nice to at least see the return of the draft to the spectacle that we've known it as. And all the intrigue and all the stuff and all the uncertainty that we have heading into it. I just wish the Texans could have been a part of it.
I'm intrigued by this draft because the four quarterbacks, potentially four quarterbacks taken with the first four picks, that's going to skew everything in that first round. I mean, there are, first of all, as we mentioned earlier, at least two of them, maybe three, are going to fall short of expectation. They're going to be busts. Meanwhile, you got some wide receivers, man. They're going to fall right into the laps of some teams that that are already, you know, on the brink of contention. And then that's not even to get into the nuts and bolts of some of these other positions.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. As the Texans dumpster fire takes a back seat to the Watson off-field storylines, one of the best players in franchise history is not letting Cal McNair and Jack Easterby off the hook. You will not believe what one of the Texans' goats had to say, but you will hear it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
You still think Deshaun Watson gets traded, regardless of what John McClain says? You still think he gets traded within the next 16 days?
I think it's a possibility, a very strong possibility. I really do. I mean, teams are willing, man. Teams are willing to take on the extra baggage. We've seen it year in, year out. There are rumors, you know, about players who have done heinous things still within weeks latching on with another team. And when it comes right down to it, these are big corporations that always say the right things. Texans more than most. Character, et cetera, culture, et cetera. A team like the Miami Dolphins, they're going to weigh the pros and the cons, and they're going to realize that they're going to be able to withstand it.
Okay, there we go. Eagles also a team to look out for. 16 days till the draft. John Lopez still believes that a trade does happen. Still nothing criminally. No criminal charges filed yet. And the most quiet, I think it should be mentioned, most quiet four-day period of the Deshaun Watson legal situation that we've had since it became news. So that's something to keep an eye on.
One more thing real quick. No one wants to know if Deshaun Watson is going to settle in the next few days more than NFL teams, because that actually emphasizes the point even more. If they see a settlement, they're going to feel a lot better about maybe not as bad of a suspension and maybe not criminal charges.
Yep, that'll be one of the big steps. You just got to wonder how much longer this is going to be quiet, because as soon as I say that, something big happens and something comes down the news wire. And if it does, we got you covered here at Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app. Andre Johnson worked with the Texans. One of the best players in franchise history, was actually on the staff until early last year. Andre Johnson was on the I'm Athlete podcast with Brandon Marshall and Chad Ochocinco. He had some interesting things to say about his career as well as the state of the Texans organization. He doesn't want to let them off the hook. Now, this was before the Deshaun Watson legal stuff came up, so keep that in mind. But it was in the middle of the standoff that was going on before that. Here's Andre Johnson with Chad Ochocinco and Brandon Marshall on the I'm Athlete podcast.
It was crazy because me and Kennard, we was actually having lunch when I sent the tweet out. We was just talking about, you know, the organization as a whole. And there were things I experienced, you know, during my 12 years there. And I just didn't want to see Deshaun go through what I went through, you know what I'm saying, with the organization. He's a tremendous talent. We all know what he can do on the field. He's a winner, you know what I'm saying? We seen that in him when he was at Clemson.
Right.
I just didn't want his career to be wasted. Since Jack has walked in that building, nothing good has happened in that building. And it started with the D-Hop trade. That was just me. I think it was just a buildup of frustration and things that I seen. And then I worked with the team for a season. Me being there and being inside the organization, people asked me why I left. I always said I wanted to spend more time with my daughter and stuff like that. But I left because I knew the organization wasn't right.
Do you mean the ability to build a winning team, Super Bowl, you know, want to be a Super Bowl contender? Like,
you have a guy that comes in who's a team chaplain, basically, or a character coach. And I give him credit. He's good at that. That's what he's good at. But you have a guy basically running your organization and don't know nothing about football.
Right.
So why would I want to be a part of something like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, when we, you know, all of us played, when we lace our cleats up, like, we giving it everything we got. And it was the same. I know guys are doing the same thing, you know, even though I'm not playing anymore, but there's guys in that locker room that's giving it all to that organization. I feel like you cheating them, because you don't have somebody in there. You're not making the right decisions to build a winner. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I put the tweet out. That's why I stepped away from the organization. I haven't been in that facility since I left.
There's Andre Johnson on the I'm Athlete podcast. We'll hear more from him, but I'm just making it very clear. He does not like Jack Easterby's role with the organization. It had nothing to do with spending more time with family. The real reason he left was really the real reason a lot of Texans fans have been disgusted since April of 2019, just the overall presence and, I think most importantly, the overall role that Jack Easterby had with this organization from the time that he got there, from the time to the time that Andre Johnson left.
Let's not lose sight of something very important. Andre Johnson loves the Houston Texans, loves them. You know, he even worked for them after he retired and left Indianapolis. He loves this organization, and he's talking about these things because it hurts him so much that Jack Easterby as he said, nothing they do well since Jack Easterby has walked in into the building. That's something that we can't lose sight of. I'm pretty sure Jack Easterby's pretty happy with some of the heat going elsewhere in the last few weeks. But you can't lose sight of the fact of what he did to this organization, how he's wired, and I always go back to that because I'm with you. I'm optimistic about Nick Caserio, but Jack Easterby is not wired in such a way that he can just step back, and that's what still bothers me.
Here is more from Andre Johnson talking about the state of the franchise, because obviously it is a new regime. You have a new coach. You have a new general manager. You don't know what Jack Easterby's role exactly is going to be compared to what it was before Caserio arrived. But here's Andre Johnson talking about the state on the I Am Athlete podcast of the Texans organization. And if this is, for sure, I don't even know why this question's being asked, but is this a rebuild?
It all depends on what Deshaun do. If Deshaun's gone, I don't think it looks good.
Do you think they go instantly into rebuilding?
You have no choice. You ain't got nothing. I mean, if you look at all the guys they signed, they all mostly on one-year deals, 1 or 2-year deals. You know, the guys they've signed in free agency. So we all know you're not successful if you don't have a quarterback. So if Deshaun's gone, it's not going to – I just don't see nothing positive happening.
Now, Deshaun leaving would be yet another all-pro caliber player leaving the Houston Texans. We've seen DeAndre Hopkins leave in the last year. Clowney made a couple Pro Bowls. He left 2 years ago. And then J.J. Watt, obviously not in his prime, but still a very, very good player, he left. Andre himself was a teammate of J.J. Watt. Here's Andre Johnson talking about the departure of number 99.
I think J.J. is at a point where, you know, me and J.J. has talked a lot, and I think J.J. is just at a point to where he's kind of, when I burnt out maybe mentally, you know what I'm saying, with the organization. And I see, like, where J.J. is at right now, that's where I was. You know what I'm saying? Like, it comes a point to where you get burnt out with it. I think now he just wants to move on and, you know, be somewhere different and, you know, see if he can win there.
Yeah, and that's exactly where he was. Interesting little side note, James Conner signing with the Cardinals now, so there's another weapon there that's pretty darn good. But J.J., it explains grumpy J.J. He was saying what Andre was saying with his body language, not his words.
Andre Johnson, much like Deshaun Watson, at one point had actually asked for a trade from this organization. This is Andre Johnson on the I'm Athlete podcast talking about the moment when he requested a trade from the Houston Texans organization and why he can kind of relate to Deshaun Watson having a sense of where this thing was and where this thing is going.
I asked for a trade, you know, after us, you know, going 11-5, we lost to the Patriots in the playoffs. I went to the owner, I went to the GM, and I went to the head coach, and I met with all three of them at different times, and I told them, I'm like, man, like, it's me, Arian, on offense, OD. Other than that, you really ain't have too much, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, let me get out of here. Like, let me go somewhere where I can at least try to win me a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And they told me straight up, they was like, no, you ain't going nowhere. The next year we go 2-14. And it doesn't hurt to listen. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think they listen.
That's interesting that he, even after an 11-5 year, everything that he recognized, this was obviously pre-BOB. I mean, he just recognized the ability and the talent and the in the locker room. Tell you what, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, and Owen Daniels, that's a pretty good threesome that most teams would take in a heartbeat. But he recognized something in terms of where it was going otherwise.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. I think it's just important to bring that up because you hear less about Jack Easterby now than you have in a while. Right. And we know that it's kind of a new role. But I do think it does need to be at least mentioned that this organization still, until proven otherwise, the laughingstock of the NFL.
Yeah.
That's what it's been. Now, it's taken a back seat. But as soon as this Deshaun Watson legal situation does go away.
And he's traded,
it all comes back to where it was.
Well, just think about it in football terms. You know, when he's traded, and he will be, you know, from what Andre Johnson's talking about right there, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson, I mean, on and on and on the list goes of what potentially could have happened here. This is an organization that is the biggest what-if, one of the biggest what-ifs in NFL history, if they'd have been able to do things right on the personnel side and with management, specifically Jack Easterby.
The draft is going to be interesting. John McClain said that his attention is all on the draft. How? I mean, we don't really know. I know that they're doing their homework, and there are scenarios that they're going through where they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. But really, you're basically at the mercy of the first day of the draft and really the first half of the second day of the draft until you know what you're going to do. Like, you can't fall in love with someone at number three because in the third round, I should say, because someone might fall to you. I think the process of the draft that the Texans should have been paying the most attention to leading up to the draft was last week when there were physicals being taken. You know, is there a guy that tore his ACL that maybe would have been a first or second round pick that he's going to slide? Or is there a guy who's failing physicals that maybe slides to the third round? Yeah. And maybe, for lack of a better term, you can redshirt him. I don't see how you can just fall in love with all the moving parts that go on in front of you. Like, what exactly are you really looking at if you're Nick Caserio?
66 players are going to be taken. You can't predict. You can't imagine, you know, what the hot and heavy, you know, discussion of the draft is going to happen in the day before and the day of and during the draft, because you're going to start seeing some of these things happen. Like what I mentioned just a second ago, four quarterbacks going potentially in the first four picks, that's going to change everything. And it's going to change things in the third round. You know, because all of a sudden maybe some teams are going to be moving back, moving up to get their guys otherwise, and that affects you. So, yeah, it's hard to like, you know, analyze who's going at number 67. Yeah, there are players who are projected late second, early third round that maybe fall to you, but there's what, three dozen of those at least, you know, more?
The one thing that McClain said that I think is silly.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple things, specifically the Lovie Smith thing. I don't understand what his fascination is with Lovie Smith outside of him being a native Texan and a nice guy. I didn't really understand that. But this notion that you can cross running back off the list when it comes to draft picks for the Houston Texans because they need other things. You're telling me that David Johnson or Mark Ingram, if a guy like Chuba Hubbard or something from Oklahoma State falls down to you at 66 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
A guy with that type of speed and that type of a game breaker, you're telling me that if Chuba Hubbard is there or someone like that, that you pass on him because you have Mark effing Ingram and David effing Johnson? That would be a mistake. There is nothing with this roster, on this Texans roster, that you should be able to mark off any position, and it damn sure shouldn't be because of Mark Ingram and David Johnson.
I totally agree. You can put every position on that wall over there, and I'll throw a dart from 50 feet away, and I could argue that that's the position they're going to draft because it's everybody. I mean, there is not a single player, including Laremy Tunsil, perhaps. I mean, he would be the most likely. That is going to be a key part of when this team is presumably going to be much better in 3 or 4 years. There's not, I mean, name any player on this roster. Obviously, Deshaun's gone. That's what we're assuming. I mean, Zach Cunningham, you can't, come on. You can draft an inside linebacker. You can draft a running back. You can draft a receiver, cornerback. Just name a position group. And if you, this is a true best player available draft. 99% of the time when a team says we're going to draft the best player available, that's a load of crap. You know, they're going to draft the best player available for what the position is they need the most, or the positions they need the most. In the Texans' case, best player available. Just pick a position.
And I think that's the interesting thing about where Nick Caserio is here, is you keep hearing about what he did in New England, and New England did this. I mean, New England was in win-now mode for two decades. It's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you're in win-now mode and you're going to that amount of Super Bowls and that amount of AFC championship games, you do have a couple needs. Like, there's best player available that we throw out there, but you have a couple of needs for the most part. And when your number gets called at the draft, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be looking at a couple of positions closely. You might stockpile some running backs like New England did, but it's a completely different situation when you're the New England Patriots drafting with how that roster is and how good they were than how Nick Caserio is drafted now. So I think it's hard to compare. It's like when people used to talk about the NBA draft and you would hear, you know, the data shows that even first round picks, more times than not, they don't end up being quality players in the NBA. I think it was like 37% or something of a study that I saw. They're out of the league in 4 years. Yeah. A lot of times first round picks. And you would hear people use the San Antonio Spurs as an example. See, you can get guys in the second round. Yeah. They drafted Manu Ginobili. Tony Parker fell down to him late in the first. Like, look at all these guys that the Spurs get. And it's like, that is a unique situation.
That's an outlier.
Like, that is an absolute outlier. So what Nick Caserio did with the Patriots when he had the only athlete that I can remember beating the bleep out of Father Time and the most impressive dynasty and run that we've ever seen, I don't know that you can really compare that to this situation and what he's done in the past.
Pick the best player. Let me give you an example.
And all teams say that, but the Texans truly should.
No. This is the 1%. I said 99% of the time, general managers and coaches lie when they say that.
Like 2 years ago, the Texans needed a tackle, so we knew it was going to be Titus Howard.
But
we thought it was going to be Dillard.
They probably said, we're going to pick the best player available.
That's what they said.
Yeah, exactly. But we knew they needed a tackle or whatever. Let me give you an example, all right? The Texans currently have, this is kind of funny, 10 defensive linemen. Name one of them. I'm going to go through the list here, all right? Name one, if you can, that's going to be here in 3 or 4 years and an integral part of when the Texans are good.
I like this exercise.
Brandon Dunn.
No.
Ross Blacklock.
Why is Brandon Dunn still here?
He's on the contract.
Ross Blacklock, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
I think after his contract's over, he's done. So 4 years, no.
Malik Collins.
No.
Vincent Taylor.
Who?
Azuya Alafoje.
Who? Who?
Jaleel Johnson.
Who?
Who? Shaq Lawson.
Maybe.
4 years?
Maybe.
Maybe.
He's still young.
Maybe. Jonathan Grenard.
I have no idea about that guy.
Rookie contract's going to be out.
I don't know about that guy.
Charles Omenihu.
Yes.
Maybe.
I think yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that one. I'll agree with you on Omenihu. Duke Ejiofor.
No.
Dude, so my point is this. They've got 10 defensive linemen on some kind of contract right now.
And we agreed on one.
And I would be so happy if they drafted a defensive lineman. Because we're not – it's hard to condition yourself. Like, I want to cheer for the Texans. I want the Texans to win. I want to see them grow. I want to build a relationship as a fan and in this business with the players. But you can't.
Not right now.
You can't. There's 43 guys that are on 2-year contracts or less right now. They're gone, man. And then there's other guys like the Grenards of the world where you're like, you know? So the point is, what do the Texans need? Everything. Everything right now. I'm talking about for 3 and 4 years down the road.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
They need a kicker.
If Chuba Hubbard is there in the
third
round.
John Weeks isn't going to be here.
Take him. Chuba Hubbard. John Weeks, don't ever say that again.
I'm sorry. It felt bad saying it.
Dump that, Figgy. Let's go around the NFL. We like to localize it. It's very easy to do so because all the drama in the NFL can be connected right back to H-Town. Round the league next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.